عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The efforts of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam to raise the flag of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam across the world are evident. However, he was also extremely grateful to those helpers of his who assisted in fulfilling this mission of his in any shape or form. In an announcement on the 4th of October 1899, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam started an initiative to mention the names of those sincere individuals of the community who offered financial assistance. He stated, "Allah has ordained that the party of his men always needs financial assistance in the beginning. Even our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received financial contribution from his disciples, of whom Hazrat Abu Bakr was foremost. So come forward to assist with manly courage and without hesitation." At that time, he had launched an appeal for financial assistance towards the Langar Khana, because this too served an important purpose, as guests would come in order to learn about Islam and to hear his claim. He further stated, "All should contribute towards the Langar Khana according to their capacity. I wish, if possible, for such arrangements to be made that we can be relieved from the burden of the Langar Khana and devote ourselves to our mission." That is, he desired to pay even greater attention towards his mission of spreading Islam and propagating the message of the Holy Prophet ﷺ across the world. And he desired for separate arrangements to be made for those guests that came for this purpose. In any case, the promised Messiah stated, "And devote ourselves to our mission, and so that our time will not be adversely affected. Those who help us today will witness Allah's help." He further stated, "I cannot refrain from stating that the foremost individual in this support and devotion is our most sincere and beloved brother, for the sake of Allah, Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib. He has not only assisted financially, but has cut all ties with the world, cloaked himself in the garments of a beggar, migrated from his home, and remained in Qadian until his demise, and he is ever ready to help. If I wish, I can send him east or west in order to propagate the message of Islam. In my opinion, it is these individuals who are spoken of in the revelation found in Brahin Ahmadiyyah. The people of the Suffa. And what will make you know what the people of the Suffa are? Following this distinguished person, on the second rank is my beloved brother for the sake of Allah, Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib of Sialkot. God Almighty had already not endowed him with an inclination towards worldly affairs or seeking worldly ranks. But now he has completely given up worldly thoughts as well and sits at this door, devoting himself day and night to serving the faith, utilizing his mind to its utmost capacity. During the Friday prayers, he presents many verities and insights of the Holy Quran and thereby benefits the Muslims. Then there is a fellow townsman of Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib, Hakim Fazluddin Sahib. He also lives nearby and is engaged in this service. One of our sincere friends is Dr. Bure Khan Sahib. Although he has passed away, there is cause for gratitude as there are four other sincere doctors in this community. Those are Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib of Lahore, Dr. Mirza Yaqub Beg Sahib of Kalanur, Dr. Muhammad Ismail Sahib, and Dr. Abdul Hakim Khan Sahib. Similarly, there were also some extremely sincere people who took up residence here. Among them was Mirza Khuda Baksh Sahib, as well as Sahib Zada Sirajul Haq Sahib Sarsavi, who migrated from his homeland of Sarsava and came to Qadian. And there are several others. We pray that the migration of all these gentlemen may be blessed for them. And Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib, meanwhile, is one of the shining lamps of our community. Every day he delivers lectures on the Holy Quran and Hadith and expounds such profound insights and truths of the Quran that if this is not the help of God, then what else could it be? Hazrat Maulvi Sahib and my beloved brother, for the sake of God, Maulvi Abdul Karim, both sincerely desire that they should live in Qadian and die in Qadian. Among those sincere members of our community who are engaged in trade and business, my beloved brother, for the sake of God, Sayyid Abdul Rahman Sahib, a merchant from Madras, is worthy of praise. He has earned many opportunities to attain spiritual reward. He is such an ardent lover that despite living so far away, he remains close to us, and he greatly assists the Langar Khana of our community. His truthfulness and continuous services, filled with love, conviction, and faith, are an example for all the worthy members of the community, for there are few who are like him. He sends 100 rupees every month without fail, and to this day he has repeatedly sent as much as 500 rupees purely out of the fervor of his love and sincerity. At that time, this was a considerable sum, which he would send for the propagation of the faith and for the expenditure of guests. The 100 rupees that he sends every month are in addition to this. Similarly, there is my beloved brother, for the sake of God, Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib, a merchant from Lahore. I know very well that the aforementioned Sheikh Sahib is our devoted lover with all his heart and soul, and using a considerable amount of his own money in the criminal cases that had been brought against me, he greatly assisted me, and driven by the fervor of his love, he remained tirelessly engaged in showing me his sympathy. Now, after having spent hundreds of rupees on our work, he is sitting in London. May Allah the Almighty bring him back soon in safety and good health. This was at the time when he had gone to London. The Promised Messiah further states, it is also worthy of mention that my beloved brother, for the sake of God, Sardar Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib, has made great progress in love and sincerity. And our sound insight bears witness that he will very soon reach a level of sincerity and love that will be a source of envy. He has always assisted to the best of his ability with financial contributions, and it is hoped that he will sacrifice even more of his wealth in the way of God. God Almighty sees everyone's deeds, and there is no need for me to say or write anything further about them. Similarly, the Promised Messiah stated that there were many other sincere people, but regrettably, if he were to write all their names, this announcement would turn into a very lengthy article. He says, I prayed for all their sakes, that God may grant them happiness in both worlds. Whatever they do or will do in the future for the sake of God is all beneath the watchful eye of God Almighty. These were the ways in which the truthful servant of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed his gratitude to his helpers. The Promised Messiah والسلام, would express immense gratitude even for the smallest service by anyone. Thus, Hazrat Munshi Mahbub Alam Sahib relates that there was a non-Ahmadi in our neighborhood who used to prepare faluda. When the Promised Messiah came to the house of Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib, this faluda maker said to me, if you could obtain permission from Hazrat Sahib, I would like to serve him faluda. Accordingly, I presented his request to the Promised Messiah and Hazur granted permission. The man therefore brought all the necessary ingredients and went there. The promised Messiah alayhi salam was seated on a bed in the courtyard of Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib. He presented the man to him, and the promised Messiah said to make the faluda. Thus he sat outside and prepared a bowl of faluda and presented it to Huzur. Huzur drank it and expressed his appreciation, saying that it was very good. The man then sent 10 or 12 more bowls inside and served everyone. Upon this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then took out 2 rupees, at that time 2 rupees was a considerable amount, and gave them to me, telling me to give them to the man. I took the 2 rupees to him, but he refused to accept them and said to me, "Take me into the company of Hazrat Sahib." Thus I took him to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He joined his hands before the promised Messiah and said, "I do not need the 2 rupees. I presented the faluda as a gift." Upon his insistence, the promised Messiah did not give him the money. Instead, he prayed for him and said, "Jazakumullahu asan al-jaza." The narrator says that through the blessing of this prayer, his children went on to attain very good positions. Hazrat Maulvi Ibrahim Sahib Bakapuri relates, on one occasion, the Sialkot branch of the community, including the late Hazrat Mir Hamid Shah Sahib, the late Chaudhary Nasrullah Khan Sahib, and this humble one, presented some money to the promised Messiah alayhi salam as a gift. The promised Messiah alayhi salam took the handkerchief in which the money was tied and first said, "Alhamdulillah," and then "Jazakumullah." This increased our faith in a way, for the promised Messiah first thanked God and then prayed for us. I have mentioned previously that the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that one should first offer thanks to Allah and then express gratitude to people. Hazrat Zulfiqar Ali Khan Gohar Sahib relates an incident that on one occasion, the promised Messiah emerged from the Bait al-Dua, which was on the lower floor, at around 10 o'clock to have mehndi put on him. The promised Messiah had dyed his beard and hair. In those days, henna was used in this manner, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam would apply it. There was a small room adjoining the Bait al-Dua, with one door opening into the courtyard and another towards my room. Because I live nearby, I would wait in this room for the promised Messiah to come out. The promised Messiah came out of the Bait al-Dua and sat on a charpoy. He said to me, "Tell Maulvi Sayyid Sarwar Shah Sahib to bring some food here for us." At that time, guests had come and food was cooked collectively, and Sarwar Shah Sahib was responsible for the arrangements. I went and conveyed the message. We had just finished eating ourselves. Hardly 10 minutes had passed, but there was no food left. There was no food after just 10 minutes, for the people had eaten it. He says that when I conveyed the message, Maulvi Sayyid Sarwar Shah Sahib's face turned pale. Nevertheless, he took some milk in a small bowl and placed 3 pieces of toast on a plate along with sugar and brought them. His face was downcast and he was deeply distressed that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had asked for food but there was none available. He said, "Huzur, there is nothing else left at present." Hazrat Zulfiqar Ali Khan Sahib says that I was extremely astonished that there was no food kept for the promised Messiah alayhi salam. What kind of arrangement was this? The promised Messiah, however, expressed his gratitude in a manner that was clearly visible on his countenance. It was not merely an outward or artificial expression. Rather, his genuine gratitude was apparent from his face. He took the 2 pieces of toast, dipped them in sugar, and ate them, and then drank some water. The narrator says, at that moment, it occurred to me that Allah the Almighty had caused this oversight so that Hazur's patience, gratitude, and spiritual rank might be manifested to the world. The companions would take note even of the smallest incidents. On the 7th of August, 1900, the promised Messiah wrote a letter of thanks to Hazrat Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib, who had sent him a gift of some clothes. He wrote, "I have received the precarious and excellent articles of clothing which you have sent with such deep love and sincerity, and I express my gratitude for them. Looking at each piece, it is evident that my dear friend had them prepared with great effort and devotion. May Allah the Almighty in return bestow upon you His boundless and incomprehensible grace and favor, and may He clothe you completely in the garment of righteousness, honoring you with the hue of His saints and the righteous." Thus, in return for the gift of physical clothing, the promised Messiah expressed not only gratitude, but prayed that Allah the Almighty should grant the sender the true garment of righteousness and adorn him with the qualities of the pious. In a letter to Hazrat Munshi Ahmad Jan Sahib, the promised Messiah wrote, "My honorable and esteemed brother, Munshi Ahmad Jan Sahib, may Allah the Almighty keep you safe and reward you with the best of rewards. Peace be upon you. I have received your letter. The favors of the generous Lord cannot be adequately appreciated, for He has provided this humblest of servants with such heartfelt friends, whose very existence is a source of honor and pride for this insignificant one. May the generous Lord keep you happy and joyful, and may He reward you for your heartful intentions." The promised Messiah expressed great humility and said, "This humble one is utterly weak, useless, and insignificant. It is purely the grace and favor of He who is the most merciful of all, who show mercy, that without even the slightest entitlement on my part, that He is showering countless blessings upon one so unworthy." Consider the promised Messiah's rank, yet such was His humility. "I find fault upon fault within myself, yet He bestows favor upon favor. He sees me doing wrong upon wrong, yet He grants bounty upon bounty. In truth, He is most merciful and most generous. Wherefrom can I find words sufficient enough to express thanks to Him? This humble one is nothing, lowly, without means, and utterly poor. He found me in the dust and raised me up. He saw me utterly unworthy and covered my faults. Seeing my weakness, He Himself granted me strength. Seeing my ignorance, He Himself bestowed knowledge upon me. He has shown me favors that I cannot count. One manifestation of His favor is that He has placed love for this humble one in the hearts of noble brothers such as yourself." This was the gratitude which the promised Messiah expressed for those who supported him. "It is among the favors of God that He causes this love to grow and would bestow His grace upon all those whom He had joined in this bond." After writing this letter, the following couplet of a saint was revealed to him. He wrote, "One whose heart is brought to life by love can never die. Our eternity has been inscribed upon the register of the world." In another letter addressed to Hazrat Qazi Zahuruddin Akmal Sahib, the promised Messiah wrote in response to three books he had sent in support of him, "I have received your gift of three books. May Allah grant you an excellent reward. I have skimmed through all three of them. The discourse is excellent and well argued. May Allah grant you a good reward. Ameen. You should publish and circulate them wherever and whenever appropriate so that the reward may be doubled." Similarly, in a letter to Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, who was the father of Hazrat Umme Nasir and the father-in-law of Hazrat Muslim Maud Razila Talanho, the promised Messiah wrote, My beloved brother, Dr. Khalifa Roshiduddin Sahib, peace be upon you, I have received the sum of 50 rupees which you had sent at such a delicate and necessary time when ill-natured and envious people have brought a case against me in court. Your repeated financial assistance is truly deserving of gratitude. May Allah reward you with the best of rewards. The next court date in the case is 24th of February, 1899, and it will likely be the day after Eid. Eid will most likely fall on Sunday, and the next day, Monday, I shall have to go to Pathan court for the case. Allah knows best. I have now resolved that I shall continue praying for you for some time. Out of gratitude, the Promised Messiah said that he would continue praying for him. May Allah grant you safe, sound, and complete deliverance from distance and separation. He said this as he had been posted far away and he wished to return home. May Allah grant you safe, sound, and complete deliverance from distance and separation. Ameen and again Ameen. In another letter written to Hazrat Sahibzada Sirajul Haq Sahib, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "To my honored brother Sahibzada Sirajul Haq Sahib, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Your letter has been received. I am grateful to you for the friendly gift of the turban and perfume which you sent." This was something small, yet the Promised Messiah still wrote a letter to express thanks. May Allah reward you with the best reward, and may He deal graciously with you in this world and the next. May Allah the Almighty keep you very happy and protect you from the disliked things of both faith and the world. Together with his gratitude, he would also pray for the spiritual progress of others. Sayyid Mahmood Alam Sahib relates that Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib used to say that when the Promised Messiah alayhi salam delivered the Arabic sermon on Eid al-Adha, he was later asked about the state in which he had delivered it. The Promised Messiah replied, in other words, when he was asked about it, that angels kept bringing tablets before him, written in large letters, and he would read from them as they appeared. When one tablet came, he would recite what was written upon it, then another would appear, and the first would disappear. The sequence of tablets continued. If one of the scribes asked him to repeat something, there were two people who had been seated to write the sermon down. The tablet that had gone would return, and he would look at it and repeat the words. When the sermon concluded, the Promised Messiah fell into prostration out of gratitude. All those present joined him in that prostration of thanks. After raising his head, he said, "Just now I saw the word, blessed, written in red letters." This was, as it were, a sign of acceptance. Hazrat Mir Firozuddin Sahib relates that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam wrote lecture Sialkot on the roof of Mir Hisamuddin Sahib's house. Four ink pots had been placed upon the four low parapet walls of the roof. The Promised Messiah would write as he walked. It was around the time of Asr, he would walk while writing, and at times would suddenly fall into prostration. It seemed that when Allah the Almighty disclosed some special point to him, he would offer a prostration of gratitude. While writing, he would pause and fall into prostration. Hazrat Mir Firozuddin Sahib says, "We watched this entire scene from the roof of our own house. Many others had also gathered there to witness it. Our house was very close by and stood higher than any other house. It provided a clear view of the whole scene as to how the Promised Messiah was writing the book and how, alongside his writing, he was continually thanking Allah the Almighty." Describing the Promised Messiah's characteristic of gratitude, one companion, Hazrat Khairuddin Sahib, relates, "Once the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came to our village, Qadirabad. My mother, Taj Bibi Sahiba, filled a tray of sugar and presented it to him. The Promised Messiah placed that sugar into my grandmother's lap, who was sitting there at the time, and gave it to her. He said, 'May Allah reward you. and prayed for us. Thus, the promised Messiah expressed gratitude even for the smallest of gifts. Haji Muhammadin Sahib relates, once I came to know that the promised Messiah alayhis-salam was coming to Sialkot on the occasion of some gathering. On the appointed date, I too went there with an eager desire to meet him. The promised Messiah was staying on the upper floor of a house, while those devoted to him, like moths drawn to a flame, stood below in a large crowd, eagerly awaiting a glimpse of him. After a while, he came downstairs and afforded those present the honor of beholding him. When an old man met the promised Messiah, he began weeping uncontrollably. The promised Messiah comforted him and inquired about his circumstances. He submitted, "Your Holiness, I used to pray that I might live until the advent of the Imam Mahdi." The promised Messiah replied, "Then, old man, Allah the Almighty has indeed accepted your prayer." Upon hearing this, he became very happy. He then presented one of his grandsons before the promised Messiah and requested that he place his blessed hand upon him and pray for him. The promised Messiah prayed for him and then went upstairs. Moving forward, he mentions the actual incident that highlights the promised Messiah alayhis-salam's gratefulness. This was just a preamble of the details surrounding the incident. He continues with the incident and says, by coincidence, as the promised Messiah was going upstairs, one of his shoes, which was a very simple one, slipped off his foot and fell down below. This humble servant picked it up and personally put it back on his foot. Upon this, the promised Messiah, with a smiling countenance, lovingly said, "May Allah reward you," and expressed his thanks most graciously. The promised Messiah would never miss an opportunity to express his gratitude. The promised Messiah alayhis salam wrote the following in a letter to Hazrat Munshi Rustam Ali Sahib. Munshi Rustam Ali Sahib, may Allah keep him safe. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. The sum of 50 rupees sent through Mia Imamuddin Sahib has been received. For all the efforts you and Chaudhary Muhammad Baksh Sahib have made, may the gracious Lord, glorified is His Majesty, bestow upon you a great reward and grant you success in this world and the hereafter. At the time of writing, all is well here. The promised Messiah informed him of his own circumstances. He would express his gratitude to everyone for everything, even when someone had done something very small for him. There is another incident that Hazrat Mia Mira Baksh Sahib relates. I pledged allegiance to the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam around 1897 or 1898. But for some time, I did not disclose this to my father. However, how long could the matter remain concealed? When the secret came to light, my father plainly refused to accept me and turned me out of the house, saying, "You have become an Ahmadi, now leave my house." Putting my trust in God, the provider, I rented a separate shop. Although I was experiencing financial hardship, I had a strong desire that, in whatever way I could and according to my means, I should prepare a garment for the promised Messiah, sew it with my own hands, as he was a tailor, and present it to him. With this thought in mind, I purchased a muslin kurta, a latha shalwar, a black coat, and a muslin turban. I stitched them myself and prepared the outfit. I then somehow managed to collect the fare from here and there and travel to Qadian. The following day was Friday, and I thought that if possible, this humble person might present this poor gift to the promised Messiah that very day. Perhaps the promised Messiah would wear it before the Friday prayer and thereby gladden the heart of this poor man. Thus, while contemplating how I might accomplish this, I reached the shop of Qazi Ziauddin Sahib and expressed my heartfelt desire to him. As soon as he heard it, he said, "Come, I will take you to the promised Messiah." He immediately got up and took me into the presence of the promised Messiah alayhis salam. At that time, the promised Messiah alayhis salam was seated upon a bench, writing something, while Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib was seated on a mat in front of him. We both sat there beside Khwaja Sahib. Khwaja Sahib asked the reason for my visit, whereupon Qazi Sahib explained my desire. Khwaja Sahib remained silent for a while. Then addressing me, he said, "Well, shall I represent you?" Khwaja Sahib was a lawyer, so even on this occasion, he used professional terminology. I replied, "That would be extremely kind of you. Please represent me." Upon this, Khwaja Sahib took the clothes from me and presented them to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. At the same time, he submitted, "Your Holiness, this boy wishes that you would wear these clothes and offer the Friday prayer in them." Upon hearing this, the promised Messiah took up the clothes and began putting them on. However, when he put on the coat, it was very tight. I submitted, "Your Holiness, the coat is very tight. If you take it off, I can loosen it a little." The promised Messiah would not have worn it there, but would have left his work and then put the clothes on, thereafter returning to them. When he wore the coat, it was tight. The promised Messiah took the coat off and gave it to me. I said, "I will have it altered. It is somewhat tight." I immediately got up, took it to the market, and sitting at a tailor shop, opened up the entire back of the coat. I then returned to the presence of the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah put it on again, but even then the buttons of the coat would not come together and fasten properly as he desired. Nevertheless, in order to spare my feelings, the promised Messiah pulled and adjusted the coat and fastened the buttons without giving any thought to whether these clothes were actually suitable for wearing. He wore them in this condition out of consideration for the feelings of that boy who had only recently become an Ahmadi and had come with a gift. He then expressed his gratitude to him very warmly as well. Hazrat Mia Saifullah Sahib relates, "Once I went to Qadian, someone placed a heap of 50 or 60 rupees in front of the promised Messiah, but he did not even turn his attention towards it. Normally he would express his thanks when people gave him something, but perhaps there was some particular reason on this occasion. In any case, he relates that the person gave the money in cash, but the promised Messiah paid no attention to it. Meanwhile, an old woman, who was probably a Hindu woman, arrived with a child. She had a lump of jaggery tied up in a piece of cloth. The woman submitted, 'Your Holiness, this child has brought this piece of jaggery for you. Please pray for him.' The promised Messiah said, 'Very good,' and became very pleased. He took the lump of jaggery together with the cloth from the child's hand and placed it over his shoulder. Thus, even though it was an ordinary gift from this poor child, he received it with great appreciation, expressed his gratitude for it, and also prayed for the child." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, wrote the following in a letter addressed to the Ahmadiyya community. "First and foremost, my heart is filled with gratitude to Allah the Almighty, who has granted my community sincere resolve, love, and sympathy. Had the grace of God Almighty not been with them, they would never have been granted the opportunity to demonstrate such obedience in the footsteps of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that despite their own financial difficulties and meager incomes, they are engaged in financial service beyond their means. I pray that Allah the Almighty may bless all their wealth and that the help and assistance they are rendering for the fulfillment of religious objectives may become a means of their welfare in both this life and the hereafter." Then while imparting guidance, the promised Messiah states, "The gratitude for the favor which Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon a person is that he should do good and act kindly towards his creation and should not become arrogant on account of the favor granted to him by God, nor should he, like savages, crush the poor." Thus he also drew attention towards helping the poor. Having received knowledge from Allah the Almighty, he would at times also inform people beforehand concerning certain matters relating to them. Likewise, having received knowledge from Allah the Almighty regarding his opponents, he would tell them that such and such would happen to them. However, at times, owing to the wisdom of Allah the Almighty, it would take time for these things to come to pass. On such occasions, he would become anxious and engage himself in prayers, fearing that the opponents would raise an uproar about the matter. But when it would come to pass, he would prostrate himself before Allah the Almighty with the utmost gratitude. Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, once I made a prophecy concerning Bishambar Das, brother of Sharampat Khatri, that although he would not be acquitted of the criminal case that had been instituted against him, half of his sentence would be remitted. Subsequently, it so happened that when Bishambar Das had been released after serving half of his sentence, as had been foretold in the prophecy, his heirs, contrary to expectation, began to spread the report that Bishambar Das had been acquitted. It was night time, and I went to my large mosque to offer the prayer. When a person named Ali Muhammad, a Maulvi and resident of Qadian, came into the mosque and stated that Bishambar Das had been acquitted and that people in the bazaar were congratulating him, I was deeply distressed upon hearing this news, and a state of restlessness arose within my heart, for I thought that the prejudiced Hindus would attack me, saying, you had given the news that Bishambar Das would not be acquitted. Due to this grief, each unit of the prayer became like a year to me. When, during the prayer, I went into prostration after one of the units, my state of anguish reached its utmost intensity. Then, while I was in prostration, God addressed me in a loud voice and said, fear not, you shall prevail. I then waited to see how the prophecy would be fulfilled, but no sign appeared. I repeatedly asked the same Sharampat whether it was true that Bishambar Das had been acquitted. He would give the same reply each time, that he had indeed been acquitted. And what need was there for him to tell a lie? This Hindu would say this. And whomever I asked in that village gave the same response, saying that they too had heard that he had been acquitted. In this manner, approximately 6 months passed. Evil people would mock and ridicule me, as had long been their habit. However, Sharampat did not engage in any mockery or ridicule, which convinced me that he had now treated me with decency. Nevertheless, I would still feel ashamed before him, for I had informed him with such emphasis that his brother would not be acquitted, and now this situation had arisen. Nevertheless, I had firm faith in my God and was certain that God would show some manifestation of his power. It was possible that he might be taken into custody again after having been acquitted, but I did not know that the very report of his acquittal was itself fabricated. It was a false report that had been spread. After this, it had so happened that about 8 o'clock in the morning, a tax collector from Batala, whose name was Hafiz Hidayat Ali, came to Qadian on tour. Since Qadian falls under the jurisdiction of Batala district, he came to our house. He had not yet dismounted from his horse when, as is their custom, several Hindus came to greet him, and Bishambar Das was also among them. The tax collector, upon seeing Bishambar Das, said, Bishambar Das, we are pleased that you have been released from imprisonment, but it is unfortunate that you were not acquitted. Upon hearing this, I immediately prostrated myself in gratitude and at once summoned Sharampat and said, why did you continue to lie to me for so long, saying that Bishambar Das had been acquitted, thereby causing me unnecessary distress? He replied, I was compelled to tell this lie for a particular reason. That is, among our people, at the time of arranging marriages and matrimonial relationships, even the smallest matters are scrutinized and criticized. And if any misconduct becomes established, it becomes difficult to find matches for girls. Therefore, owing to this reason, I continued to say something contrary to the facts. I spread this false report and continued to tell this lie. While mentioning one of his signs, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, one such prophecy was fulfilled concerning the followers and adherents of Pandit Dhyanand. It would not be without benefit for the readers to become acquainted with their circumstances. Although recounting details may make this account somewhat lengthy, it is being written out of goodwill and in the interest of those people who are unaware of the greatness of Islam. Before the fulfillment of this prophecy, some extraordinary difficulties and unpleasant circumstances arose. Here too, the underlying purpose of these prophecies was so that the glory and greatness of Islam should be manifested and that the banner of the Holy Prophet ﷺ should be raised high throughout the world. Ultimately, the gracious God removed all these difficulties and on Monday, the 10th of September, 1883, fulfilled this prophecy. The details are as follows. On Thursday, the 6th of September, 1883, at a time of great need, the gracious God, in order to comfort this humble servant, gave the glad tidings through his holy word that 21 rupees would come. An extraordinary aspect of this glad tiding was that the exact number of rupees that would arrive was disclosed. To be informed of a specific number in this manner is a characteristic of the knower of the unseen. It is not within the power of anyone else. This was no ordinary matter. Information was being given concerning a definitive sum that such and such an amount would arrive. And even more extraordinary was the fact that this number had been given without any prior indication or expectation. There had been no previous thought whatsoever of this particular number. The prescribed book had no connection with this number either. It was on account of these extraordinary circumstances that before the prophecy was fulfilled, this revelation was conveyed to certain Aryas. Then, on the 10th of September, 1883, the revelation was repeated three times for emphasis. 21 rupees have come. From this revelation, it was understood that the fulfillment of this prophecy would take place that very day. It could scarcely have been more than 3 minutes after this revelation when a man named Wazir Singh came, who was unwell, and immediately upon arriving presented 1 rupee as an offering. Although the treatment of patients is not my profession, and if by chance a sick person comes to me and I happen to know of a medicine for his ailment, I give it solely for the sake of earning the reward of Allah and purely for his sake. I have never taken any payment for this. However, I accepted the rupee from this man because it immediately occurred to me that it constituted one portion of the prophecy concerning the arrival of 21 rupees. After this, I sent a confidant of mine to the post office with the thought that perhaps another portion of the prophecy might be fulfilled through the post. The postmaster, who was a Hindu, replied that he had only one money order of 5 rupees, accompanied by a card which had arrived from Dera Ghazi Khan. He said that the money itself was not yet in his possession and that he would hand it over when it arrived. Upon hearing this news, I was greatly astonished, and such anxiety overtook me as cannot be described. The reason was that he had been proclaiming this prophecy before non-Muslims in order that the truth of Islam thereby be established. He further states, "I became extremely anxious." Thus, this humble servant sat with his head down, deeply absorbed in thought. I reflected, 5 and 1 make 6. How then will the number become 21? Oh my Lord, what has happened? While I was in this state of complete absorption, I suddenly received the revelation. 21 have come. There is no doubt about it. Hardly had the afternoon passed after this revelation, when on that very day, an Arya who had already heard of the postmaster's earlier statement went to the post office. There, the postmaster, after making some effort to explain the matter, informed him that, in fact, 20 rupees had arrived and that he had inadvertently said 5 rupees earlier. Accordingly, that very Arya brought 20 rupees together with a card from Munshi Ilahi Bakh Sahib, the accountant. It was then discovered that the card was not, in fact, attached to the money order document, as the postmaster had stated. It was also discovered that the money had already arrived. Furthermore, from the writing of Munshi Ilahi Bakh Sahib, which constituted the receipt issued in connection with the post office, it became evident that the money order had reached Qadian on the 6th of September 1883, the very day on which the revelation had been received. Thus, the entire statement of the postmaster proved to be incorrect, whereas every detail conveyed by the knower of the unseen proved to be true. In remembrance of this blessed day, sweets worth 1 rupee were purchased and distributed among some of the Aryas. Since he had previously informed the Aryas of the revelation that how Allah the Almighty had informed him of this, and so out of joy, he also had sweets distributed to them. All praise belongs to Allah for His favors and blessings, both manifest and hidden. The promised Messiah further states, "There is not a single nation among whom the signs in my favor have not appeared, and there is not a sect that is not a witness to my signs." It would be no exaggeration to say that the number of witnesses to these signs is as much as 100 million. But the plight of the opponents is pitiable indeed, that they did not derive any benefit from these signs. Had these signs that have been shown to them been shown to the Jews at the time of Jesus, son of Mary, they would not have been characterized as those smitten with abasement. as has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Had Lot's people witnessed these signs, they would not have been buried under the earth on account of that massive earthquake. But woe be upon these hearts that prove to be harder than stone. The darkness that has overtaken their hearts exceeds every kind of darkness. The fact of the matter is that just as the world has progressed in respect of all kinds of material means, so has it advanced in disbelief and lack of faith. Hence, this advanced disbelief requires that it should not be visited by any ordinary chastisement. Rather, it should be overtaken by a chastisement the like of which has never descended since the beginning of the world. At any rate, thousands of thanks be to God that the light that our opponents refused to accept and remain blind, the same light became the cause of advancement of our own sight and spiritual insight. The Promised Messiah wrote this in Haqiqatul Wahi, "May Allah the Almighty grant us a true understanding of gratitude, and having enabled us to enter into the bath of the true servant of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may he also bestow upon us true spiritual light, insight, and divine knowledge."
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر